When I was in my early 20s, I moved out of my parents' house with my brother. With a mutual friend, we rented our own two-story house. It was an older style home, with very high ceilings and ornate decorative handrails and doorknobs. It wasn't until after we moved in that we learned that at one point the house was used as a funeral home, and out in the detached garage was where bodies used to be stored and prepared for display. I guess it made sense, since there was a small cemetery just behind the house, though most of the tombs were obscured by the tall grass. We were all big into those paranormal type ghost hunting shows, so on one of the first nights we were living there, we went outside and tried to capture EVP on our phones. We would ask questions and play back the recordings to see if we had caught anything. We were disappointed, but not surprised, when after about a half hour or so, we gave up, not uncovering anything even remotely creepy. But looking back, however, I think we succeeded in getting something's attention. It started slow. Our friend had chronic back problems, so instead of sleeping upstairs, he would sleep on the couch downstairs. Every so often he would tell us that he heard footsteps or muttering voices coming from the far side of the house. Specifically the voice of a woman, talking in a kind of happy sing-song voice, like she was talking playfully with a small child. After a while, all three of us would begin to feel very uncomfortable downstairs at night. We felt as though something was peering in at us from the darkness outside. We covered all the windows with sheets, and our friend wasn't too happy about sleeping on the ground floor on his own. But me and my brother were not willing to sleep downstairs, and he didn't want to have to suffer climbing the stairs twice a day. One night, we awoke to screaming coming from downstairs. We ran down to the living room to discover our friend, staring wide-eyed up at the ceiling, clutching his blanket like he was trying to tear it in two. He said that he had awoken to the sound of ragged, labored breathing coming from the corner of the room, and when he called out, something shifted in the darkness. We helped him climb up the stairs, and he spent the night on the second floor with us. I personally believe that I had the two most vivid, alarming experiences, even though I didn't tell my roommates about them at the time. There was this one time I was home alone, and I was cleaning up my bedroom and singing along to my tunes. It was broad daylight, and I didn't feel uneasy or nervous at all. Everything seemed normal. I turned around to grab something and exit my room when I froze. Something had just exited my room. I caught the glimpse of a tall figure with long dark hair walking out of the door and turning sideways to walk down the hall. Most of the memory is a blur, but one thing I do distinctly remember was seeing feathers hanging from the back of the figure's head among its hair. I shot out of my room and tore after the figure. I ran downstairs, but there was no one there. I was completely alone in the house. My second experience happened the day that we finally moved out. We have been living in the house for well over a year at this point. My brother and friend had since moved everything out, and I was alone sweeping in the kitchen area. From across the house, I heard a soft thud, like a pile of towels had fallen over onto the floor. It made me pause, because I knew that there was practically nothing left in the house that could have been tipped over. I'm not sure why I decided to do it, but I began to speak aloud in the empty house around me. "We're leaving the house now, so we won't be bothering you anymore. If you have anything to say to me, now's the time." I waited a few seconds, but I got no response, so I tried again. "If you can hear me, show me a sign." I knocked hard on the counter 3 times. And almost immediately, from somewhere down in the basement, I heard 3 knocks mimicking my own in the same rhythm. I dropped the broom and power walked right out of the front door and waited on the front steps until my brother got back to pick me up. I told him that the cleaning was done and there was no reason to step foot in the house again. The one thing that I take away from this is that I'm never even going to pretend to mess with the supernatural ever again. For starters, my name is Rose, and I'm 19. I'm from the Netherlands, and I study law. I mainly chose to go to law school because of this occurrence. I was only 16 at the time. I was what the Americans would call a sophomore in high school. I was, and still am, very picky with who I choose to be friends with. So I had about 5 real friends at the time. This is very important for the story. It all started one night when I decided to go out to the only bar in my town that allowed 16-year-olds inside. We weren't allowed to drink, but we had pre-gamed, so whatever. It's very common in Holland for teenagers to start drinking at the age of 16. I was out with about 3 of my friends, and for the sake of the story, I'll call them Jordan, Lisa, and Maddie. I was dating Jordan at this time. He was 19. Jordan brought his younger brother along, who was 16. We will call him Joe. We were all just hanging out and having fun, and I noticed that I got along very well with Joe. In the days following, I started to receive texts from Joe. He was saying stuff like, "Hey, let's go out again soon." I brushed it off as him trying to be friendly, as he didn't have a whole lot of friends from what I've heard. Joe and I developed a great friendship over the following months. I came over a lot and hung out with Joe, Jordan, and their parents, and I developed a good bond with them as well. After a few weeks, I began to receive random phone calls. I would pick up and say, "Hi, this is Rose." But the person on the other end of the line wouldn't say anything. The only thing I would hear was just heavy breathing. I thought it was a prank at first. But when that number called me 30 to 40 times in 2 hours, I was starting to become a little frightened. I went from calling every once in a while to being called about 60 times a day. I tried blocking the number, but as soon as I did, a new number would call me. And when I would answer, the only thing I would hear would be that same heavy breathing. I eventually told my parents, and they thought it was strange, but they didn't take me serious. When I told Jordan, Maddie, and Joe, however, they took it extremely serious. The phone calls eventually stopped for a while, and the whole thing just slowly seeped into the back of my mind, and eventually I rarely ever thought about them. That was until I was out shopping with Maddie. I received another phone call. However, I had just recently applied for a job, and I thought it may have been the company calling me. I picked it up, and I immediately felt my heart pounding in my chest as I heard a muffled voice saying,
"My sweet Rose, you look so gorgeous in your green jacket. It really brings out your blue eyes."
I freaked out and started to look around. I was brought out of my initial panic as I heard the voice say,
"Don't bother. You can't see me, but I can clearly see you."
I hung up after that. I took the bus home that day in tears, with Maddie being as freaked out as I was. I told my parents, and yet again, they brushed it off. They told me it was probably a prank phone call. So I was left thinking, if it was just a prank phone call, then why would the caller make sure his number wasn't visible? This went on for months, and I fell into a 24/7 state of paranoia. I was scared to leave the house, and I didn't eat a whole lot, and I would just stay in bed all day if I could. Of course, I had school, and at this time, I was getting at least 40 phone calls every day. Jordan, Maddie, and Joe, and eventually my parents, were my biggest supporters through this whole thing. At least one of them would pick me up and drop me off at home, and if my parents were at work, someone would stay home with me until my parents came home, just to make sure that I was safe. However, things took a turn for the worst when all of my friends started receiving the same phone calls, and the caller also started blowing up my house phone. I would leave my phone at home a lot when I went to school, Either Joe, Jordan, or Maddie would let my parents know where I was. I also started receiving these weird, twisted love letters. One of them read,
"Hello, Rosie. You looked so beautiful the other day. With all your hair curled up like that, it made me want to cut some of it off. I wish I could just cut your whole beautiful head off. But I can't do that. You would just be too quiet for me. I have thought about it, though. Cutting your head off and taking out your eyeballs. Those baby blue eyes of yours. I will see you soon. Sooner than you think."
I have tears in my eyes just from reading it. After many, many phone calls, and me either declining or just not picking up, I had the guts to pick up the phone, and I told the caller that I wanted to meet them. I wasn't planning on going alone, so Joe offered to come with me, since Jordan had to work and Maddie had dance practice. So we rode our bikes to a nearby park, where I had agreed to meet the caller. I sat down on a bench with my heart nearly beating out of my chest. Joe hid in the bushes behind me with a baseball bat, in case the caller tried to grab me or hurt me. And of course, nobody showed. We waited for around 2 hours for nothing. After I got back home, I received another phone call. This time, the caller wasn't as sweet as he usually was. He called me a dumb bitch and a whore. He told me that he was disappointed in me for thinking that he was so stupid that he would not notice that I brought Joe along. I hung up, and from that point on, all the phone calls I received were violent, with the caller threatening to kill me or hurt my family. He also told me that he was the one for me, and that Jordan was just a phase. I went to go grab my bike so I could make my way to the police station, and that's when I noticed that there was a shoebox tied to it. I immediately started to panic. I opened it up, and there was a dead rat inside. I remember screaming at the top of my lungs, and then I broke down crying. With the box still attached to my bike, I took off to the police station. It usually took me about 30 minutes from my house to get to the station. However, on that day, it only took me 15. I gave them my statement, and they took it extremely serious. They placed a wiretap on my phone, and the phones of my friends and my parents shortly after. I let everyone know. Only after a few weeks of silence, the phone call started again. The caller told me that he knew about the police listening into the conversations. He also said that he was going to come by my house at night, kill me, and then rape my dead body. I became numb at this point. Things had gotten so hopeless that I didn't see a point of living another day in this hell. I remember it like it was just yesterday. It was on the 19th of July, 2016. I had just turned 17, and I was over at Jordan's house. I was actually kind of relaxed in some weird way. The police kept me updated on everything they found. Jordan and I were on the couch, when suddenly the doorbell rang. Jordan opened the front door to three cops standing just outside. One of them was the detective that I had the most contact with. He was in charge of the investigation, I think. He came straight over to me and grabbed my hands, looked me dead in the eyes, and told me two simple words. "It's over." I couldn't believe what he was saying at first. The other two officers went upstairs as I was talking to the detective. When they came back down, Joe was in handcuffs. At first, I thought it was a mistake, but as soon as I saw Joe's defeated face, I became infuriated. I screamed at Joe, asking him why. Jordan was yelling at him as well. He was shocked at first, but as soon as he understood the situation, he freaked out. Jordan's mom began crying, and honestly, I felt bad for her. Soon after, the cops left, with Joe. The detective stayed behind and explained to us that Joe had bought prepaid SIM cards and used them on an old phone that he had laying around. He told me that he knew it was Joe when they listened to a very bizarre conversation he had on the phone. Apparently, Joe dialed his house number with his prepaid phone. He made sure that he was the one that picked up the house phone. He yelled at the phone, screaming that the caller was a coward. I know it sounds insane, but Joe was the only one talking, so that made it crystal clear, and it also explains why the caller never showed up that day at the park. He was already there. Joe was taken into custody and was sentenced to 2 years in prison. He was released last year. While he was incarcerated, I did visit him once to get answers to some of the questions I had. Joe told me that he was in love with me and wanted nothing more than to be with me. He told me that he was sorry for putting me through so much misery, but I don't think I can ever forgive him. Jordan and I are no longer together. I just couldn't face him anymore. Every single time I looked at him, I was reminded of Joe and the pain that he put me through. Thankfully, me and Jordan are still on friendly terms. I'm still in therapy because of all of this. I just really don't know how to move forward. The only thing I know for sure is that I never want to see Joe ever again.
I'm someone who goes on a deep and dark web constantly. It's not what people think, where it's evil and overpopulated with crazy people. That's only a small percentage of the dark web. Years ago, my girlfriend broke up with me, and I put her personal information on a forum. And soon after that, she disappeared. It's been a while since that happened, and I've ran into people that have disrespected me since. I'm not an intimidating guy, nor do I look intimidating, nor do I ever have physical or verbal conflicts. I always think to myself that these people don't know what could happen to them. I work at a fast food restaurant, and at the time of this story, my manager was really on my case about everything. I would be late, mess up orders, have an attitude with customers, and some other stuff I could name, but it's so much. I understood that I was messing up, but the tone that this guy would talk to me embarrassed me in front of my coworkers, and sometimes in front of customers. One day, though, that was the last straw. So one day I walked into work, 5 minutes before I was due to clock in, and my manager out loud said that the window liquor is finally on time, in front of customers and my coworkers. Everyone laughed at me. During my whole shift that night, he would direct smart comments toward me, while still yelling at me for everything that I did wrong. I made up my mind. I was going to find that forum and give his information. On my walk home, I was going back and forth with myself about whether to do it or not. By the time I made it home, I made up my mind. I didn't shower nor did I change clothes. I went straight to my laptop and I searched. I possibly clicked maybe 100 links, because on the dark web there are links that will take you down any rabbit hole. A link named Porkchop piqued my interest. When I clicked it, I was directed to an about page. It only said 6 words. We find it, we chop it. And another link that said, here's an example of what we do. I clicked it, of course. As soon as I clicked on it, the picture went to the point of view from an old school camera, with the date and time in the corner of the screen. The person behind the camera approached the man and followed him. A few minutes go by, and the man noticed what was happening. He turned around and approached the camera while yelling and screaming at the person for following him. Then all of a sudden, you see 5 huge guys dressed in black wearing a pig mask run from behind the man and drag him into the dark. The person holding the camera turns the camera to his or her face and leaves it there for about 5 to 10 minutes. That person also wore a pig mask, but all you could hear was the man screaming and sounds that I don't want to describe in the background. The camera was then turned back around, and the sight that I saw was disturbing. It was something that no one would ever want to see. Some people say that they wouldn't wish it on their worst enemy, but I did. After the video was over, there were links. One said pork, and the other said chop. I clicked on the pork, and it prompted me to put in a code. I didn't have one, so I backed out. So I clicked on chop. There was information that needed to be filled out, like name, height, description, and place. I filled out all the info for my manager. In the place, it was my job. I submitted the form. At the end of the screen, it said, see you soon. 4 days later, while at work, my manager approached me and decided to apologize for the way he treated me and offered to give me more hours and said that he will work with me more often because he sees potential in me. A few hours later, it was close to the end of the night. My manager helped me with the trash and took it out for me. As I were putting chairs on top of the table getting ready to mop, I looked outside and saw my manager looking over at something, but he looked worried. I moved to get a better look and I saw what he was looking at. He was surrounded by 6 people in a pig mask with weapons in their hands. I ran outside as they swarmed him, except for one person. He had a camera. I forgot all about these guys, and that I put his information on the website. I ran outside as they approached him. He looked at me for help, but I ran back inside and called the police. It took them 10 minutes to get there. When I looked back outside, what I saw was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I wish I could get the image out of my head. Between the time of me initially seeing them, calling the cops and running back outside, these guys were gone, but my manager was still there. I went to his funeral the next week. The next day I received an anonymous email that had the whole video. They were watching him this whole time he was on shift. I don't know how they got my email. I never provided any of my information. Till this day, I still feel sick because my manager was starting to be nice to me that day. I can't go back on the dark web.